Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Frustrated Grad Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Hughes, the black dude with bad news, who survived Coach Wilson's gym class, and I'm welcoming...
He barely paid attention.
Yeah, it's very realistic. And I'm welcoming my co-host, writer, movie fan, academic decathlete, Tony Hoffman.
Academic, yeah. I've heard that their portrayal of an academic decathlon is very unrealistic.
Okay.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
I would have no idea. I mean, I'm sure they don't always get caught in elevators in the Washington Monument. I didn't even know there was an elevator in the Washington Monument. Because I went to Washington very briefly when I was younger, and we didn't take many tours or anything like that. I don't think we even really got close to like the White House or anything. We went to like library and some other stuff.
I went to a public school and we didn't have a academic decathlon team.
I don't think we did either. Oh, and there's this one thing I learned about Tangent really quick to start off the show. Have you heard of this site called Great Schools?
Great Schools? No, I have not.
Apparently a lot of realtors use it because they, I guess there's maybe some ethical thing now where they can't say, oh, this don't move over here because they have bad schools. They'll just say, hey, you should check out Great Schools and look at the schools in the area. So they don't necessarily make recommendations or anything like that. But like, so the schools are ranked out of like 1 to 10. And, I checked my high school, and this might be something you want to check out. I looked at my high school on there, and they scored a 1.
my high school doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
So
what happened to it? Was it merged with another one, or what happened?
It's like they changed it to some, it's not like an alternative school, it's some sort of a special thing where it's like it's not like a graded thing. It's like just like
where they turn some like hippie commune or something.
Not really. I don't know. I think it's like I don't know. It's across the street from the Barfield Park Conservatory.
Okay.
For Ushad one.
Okay.
On the west side. So it's not a high school anymore.
Okay. That's interesting. But yeah, it really feels great to know how shitty my high school was and still is, apparently. I'm not even going to mention the name because, I mean, people watching who know me, they know where they went. And I knew it was bad when I was there because it was just like, why don't you have a men's volleyball team? What's up with that?
Why are you trying to protect that school? Like, it's like clearly it's a piece of shit school that gets bad, you know, grades and bad performance marks.
Hey, I want to give them a chance to redeem themselves. They know who they are and they know what their ranking is, I'm sure. So get better.
that's so kind of you.
Anyway, so how's your week been?
Week's been pretty good. Got out, saw some movies, you know, we're in the middle of summer and 4th of July this past week.
Fireworks left and right.
Oh, yeah. That's always forget about that. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't tell, like I said last time, I can't tell if it's guns or fireworks.
Yeah, it was at least on the actual 4th, which was Tuesday, right? Because people had to work the next day, that the fireworks stopped at around 11 o'clock in my area. So I was grateful for that. So yeah, that was the good thing about that.
I cooked some food myself at home. I didn't barbecue. I just made like some barbecue chicken and got some like potato salad from Joel's and yeah.
I went to my local barbecue joint, which is right around the corner from my house, Kirk's, And I made the mistake of waiting inside, and we were there for about an hour, because I know we sat through an entire episode of
Jeopardy. You didn't think anybody else had the same idea?
I figured they did, but it wasn't crowded in there. But apparently a lot of people had call-in orders. So that was catering. What was delaying us. Yeah, I sat through an entire episode of Jeopardy and then some news.
Did you impress yourself, or did you
not well? Because I wasn't like facing the TV. I was just hearing it, so I feel like I was a little detached from it. So I wasn't giving my full college try. But yeah, so eventually we got our meal. We just got a large version of the meals we usually get, and that was plenty for like two
rib
days.
Rib tids with like mild sauce and fries and
chicken too. It was tips and chicken combo, extra large.
I was just playing. Wow.
Yeah, their chicken is so good, but like if I start thinking about Kirk's, then I'm gonna get in my car and go. So moving
on. Nice to know you're feeling healthy and.
Yeah.
Sickness has passed.
Yeah, before we started the podcast, I was telling Tony about the trials and tribulations of this weekend. Been extremely sick, but I'm better now. I'm still here. I'm still strong. So,
yeah, physically you're well, but mentally.
You know, so that's,
the jury's always
that's business as usual.
Sickness.
I've always been sick in the head. That's just, that's never going to go away. Anyway, I saw two movies this week. Think about it, because I almost forgot.
You went to an advanced screening of Girls Trip.
No, but I do plan on seeing that.
Of course.
Maybe not first day, but my wife probably wants to go see it first day. She's a big Tiffany Haddish fan. She's a fan of Tiffany Haddish.
That movie looks so fucking awful.
I mean, it's just gonna be the black version of Rough Night. They're pretty much the same movie, and I enjoyed Rough Night.
Is there a scene where someone pees on themselves over a street during? But like Mardi Gras, or whatever that was, I saw in the trailer.
Yeah, I mean,
about anal sex.
Hey, it's a booty hole. Well, actually, I don't think that was about sex. It's about hiding drugs. But yeah. There's always some.
I'm so proud of myself that I forgot the context of
that. But yeah, tough plan on seeing that. I think I forgot. I don't think I ever talked about Rough Night on here, but that was pretty decent. It featured Ilana from Broad City, who I'm always a fan of.
So you went against the grain. You actually enjoyed it while
millions of people didn't even see it at all. Yes,
and it just bombed.
I mean, those type of things don't matter to me because, like I said, if a theater is empty, great. It's perfect for me.
I'll see this shitty movie myself.
I mean, it was a movie I wanted to see to begin with. It was just, I was lucky enough that nobody else had the same idea.
I mean, just not to spend too much time on it, like, you didn't have any problems with, like, you know, this high concept studio comedy where it's like, it's this girl's night out or whatever, bachelorette party, I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
And someone dies and wackiness ensues.
It was like Weekend at Bernie's. And that was hilarious.
Why don't you just watch Weekend at Bernie's?
You know, I mean, I might just do that, but sometimes you need to be reminded of those things. It's like, hey, I know
this
idea.
You have to be reminded how better Weekend at Bernie's is.
It's been a while, so I need to revisit to be able to make that statement definitively.
You need your Bernie Lomax.
What's that his last name?
Because don't you remember, like, who was that rapper that did that dance? The Weekend at Bernie's dance a couple of years ago.
It was just like, it was just like you just flop around like a corpse.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I know that dance. I've seen it called different things, but yeah, it was like shoulder wiggle dance. But enough about that. The other movie I saw this week was The House with Amy Poehler and Will Ferrell.
That got even worse reviews than fucking Rough Night. It is bombed even bigger than Rough Night.
Well, say what you want about my taste, but it was right in my wheelhouse. I'm a fan of people from NBC Network comedy.
I'm happy that you're happy. As long as you're enjoying yourself.
Hey, it's not like I spend my last like $10 on these movies. I go on a Tuesday. And when there's barely anybody there, everybody else has seen Despicable Me 3, I can have the run of the theater and laugh while someone gets their finger chopped off. So,
yeah, it's like you actually paid to see these cheap movies where you could really just stay at home and watch it on websites that,
Well, sometimes there are artists that I want to pay for their work. Like, how else am I going to pay Amy Poehler for the years she gave me of comedy from Parks and Rec? And I watched that for free.
I don't think she needs your money.
Well, she got it. Anyway, she got half the price of a ticket from me. So I hope she appreciates. Oh, I almost forgot. I got free tickets for Atomic Blonde, by the way. Because as a...
Oh, did you get one of those gold...
No, actually from just my regular loyalty program for Marcus Theaters. They just sent me an email. It's like, hey, we got tickets for Atomic Blonde, but you have to go in person to pick them up. So I had to drive to Country Club Hills. I was like, you still got tickets for that movie? And they had some left in like close to the front row. So I was like, all right, I'll take these two.
Those are assigned seats.
Yeah, and I like that because like you don't have to show up early for the movie or anything. You can get there whenever you want.
I guess that's a positive. The only negative is that sometimes you get seated next to random stranger ass.
Yeah, that's why the good thing for me is I prefer if it's going to be up in the air of who's going to show up next to me, I'll get seats for us on the end, and I'll put my wife at the very end.
Yeah.
If some weirdo shows up, he's sitting next to me. But I like this. They're all reclining chairs, and they're not super close to each other. They're like a foot in between each seat. So that's pretty cool.
Do you have the adjustable table tray?
No, they don't have the table, which is weird because they have a full restaurant with like everything on the menu, basically.
Liquor.
Yeah. So they do need some kind of trays, but they don't have them. But the middle, like the armrests in the middle are big enough where you could just sit stuff on there.
I'm a member of the Classic Cinema's whatever member club. And occasionally I'll get like free popcorn and, my birthday is coming up on August the 1st, and they usually send me like a free ticket.
So, oh, wow.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I don't think I've gotten any like theater birthday rewards. I have to check in on that. Because I always go get my like my Grand Slam and all that stuff. I haven't seen anything Baskin from Robbins. My theater. I don't think they even know my birthday. I have to go and see where I can update that stuff.
Yeah. Get on that free shit.
Yeah, but I'll give my solid 3 out of 5 recommendation for The House.
Wow. Jesus Christ!
I say a 3.5 out of 5. Just some logic.
I
have with the movie, where it's just like this town only has one cop. That's pretty weird, but. Anyway.
I haven't seen it at all, and I'll give it a 0 out of 5. Or one out, okay, I'll give it 1 out of 5.
All right. That's very generous of you.
You're welcome.
All right. Now, there's obviously a main event of this podcast, but we're going to lead up to that. So what were some of the other things you wanted to talk about before we get to that?
Well, this one story that you put on here about this, I saw this story earlier in the week about this YouTube personality, Stevie Ryan, dying.
Yeah, she was a YouTuber, and then she actually got a show on VH1.
I have no idea who the hell she is.
But she had a show on VH1 for, I think it was for one season, called Stevie TV. And she did, like, sketches and impressions and stuff like that.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I watched it for the time it was on. And I thought she was a decent impressionist, but there still wasn't, like, it wasn't, like, the best sketch comedy show I've ever seen. But
it was, like, 13 episodes or...
I think so. It was something like that. But...
apparently she, I think she had talked about her depression and stuff, and then she like
she had a podcast like about grandmother. Depression.
Yeah, and her grandmother or something had passed away a couple of days before she died. She tweeted about how she was gonna, how tough it was gonna be for her to get through that, and she did like a podcast episode or something, like a couple of days.
Yeah.
Before she died.
Yeah, so that's for. Any weirdos who want to go check that out, then I'm sure that's still available.
Morbid.
Yeah. I mean, people always talk about... people always talk about how prophetic Tupac was talking about his last days or whatever. You can hear somebody's words just days before they die, so... if you're into that type of thing, then go on ahead. But I do appreciate her podcast. I do appreciate her podcast name. It's called Mentally Chill with the Ill in parentheses. So it might have been something I would check out, but I don't think their advice would have really helped anybody if one of the hosts came to. The thing they were trying to help other people with. But anyway, in other death news, one that strikes a little bit closer to home is Nelson Ellis, who was Lafayette from True Blood. He died also.
Heart failure. It was health, 39.
Yeah, heart failure. Yeah, it's crazy. And I was wondering, like, what happened to him after True Blood, and I was assuming, like, maybe he does have health issues, because, like, just wasn't around.
Well, if you watch Elementary, like I tell you to, you would know that he was on Elementary this past year.
Okay, I'm not interested in any version of Sherlock Holmes, so, it was good to know he was on
that. Shittier network TV version.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so I'm sad to hear about that. Plus, I think he was from around my way, so.
I believe so.
Yeah, so.
Harvey or something?
Yeah, it was from my hometown, so that's always sad to lose somebody, because I was a huge fan of him. He was such a popular character on True Blood that his character, who died
his
in the
character.
First book, lived on through the entire TV series.
Talent.
Yeah.
Juilliard graduate.
Yeah. Yeah, so RIP, Mr. Ellis.
One person died against their will, and another person died on purpose.
Yeah. So in non-death news, what do we have?
Donald Logue's daughter.
I think it's Logue. Donald Logue.
Logue.
Is that the guy from Star Wars?
He played Harvey Bullock on.
Oh yeah. Gotham. Yeah, that guy. Okay.
His daughter, who is missing, has been found. Past week, he had been on social media, you know, pleading for her to come home. A couple his celebrity friends were asking too, and she was found. And
where was she?
A friend from like South Carolina.
Okay. So, how old is this daughter?
She's a teen. I think she's like.
It looks like it's just
17.
After her 16th birthday, yeah. Yeah. She would get such a talking to in my house.
I think that it's a kind of a complicated situation. She's actually a trans. She's transitioning into a man now. And,
well, whether she's a girl or a boy, she's still not a woman or a man. You're living under your father's roof. So you get your little ass back in the house. Whatever.
I think her parents are also divorced, and it's a very messy situation. It's more complicated than giving her a talking to.
Hey. There still has to be order. Everything can't be chaos. It's obviously it's the parents' fault, whatever happened, but they need to straighten things out.
Speaking of chaos, Shia LaBeouf has been arrested yet again.
What for?
Good this time. I think he was filming a movie. In Savannah, Georgia, and he got arrested for a public intoxication and disorderly conduct, public drunkenness.
They should just come up with a new charge and just say being Shia LaBeouf, because that's basically what he is.
But don't you remember when he got arrested in Chicago when he was filming the Transformers movie for being drunk in that Walgreens downtown on Chicago and Michigan.
I heard
that
about
that. I have been to several times.
You just missed him. Yeah. So it's par for the course for Shia.
According to the police report. It was from a movie called The Peanut Butter Falcon, also starring Dakota Johnson of Fifty Shades of Grey.
Peanut Butter Falcon, that sounds like something that would be featured in 50 Shades of Grey. Like, tonight we're going to do The Peanut Butter Falcon.
It says, according to the police report, that he tried to bum a cigarette from a bystander and from a police officer, another would give him one. He started cursing and getting belligerent in front of tourists, and he was getting very aggressive toward the officer. And then he ran into a hotel lobby where the police arrested him.
All right. I mean, that's typical Shia.
It happens.
Yeah, I've seen worse on the Gold Coast on a normal Friday night.
Wrigleyville, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you walk around between, the Rainforest Cafe and Portillo's, and you'll see worse than that.
Don't you know who I am? My daddy's a lawyer.
Yeah, you'll hear a lot of that, too. Anyway, so, good luck, Shia.
Anyway. Fuck him.
Free Shia. Free LaBeouf.
Shia needs to be kept away from society. He needs to be placed behind bars.
Hey, I feel like it would be good for him as an actor, because I feel like that would be some great research. I'm really going method for this one. I'm going to completely get strung out on heroin inside prison, and I'm going to come out.
Daniel Day-Lewis is retired. We need a new Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going undercover as Charles Manson. So I need to spend as long as he spent in jail. So
I
starting
want
now.
Research. I want gang anal raping.
All right.
Get the full experience.
I'll take his word for it on that. All right.
Go Matt. You want to jump into Spidey?
Yeah, it's a perfect transition. So the main event of this week, the movie that a lot of people have been waiting for was Spider-Man Homecoming. So we both saw it. I saw it on a Friday morning. And you saw it on a Thursday at 7. So,
because I'm a better fan than you.
Well,
clearly.
Because you got that, that freelancer money.
The freelancer money. I'm rich, I tell you.
Yeah. So, how did you like it?
I liked it just fine. I wasn't jumping up and down like everybody else apparently would. It was okay. I think that the high school stuff that I love a lot more than I did the actual Spider-Man, you know, action moments
okay.
and stuff.
And I've heard that too. And I guess I would say I'm more in the jumping up and down camp. I feel like this was my favorite Spider-Man movie, like out of all of them. Like, even like the Tobey Maguire ones, like I went to the theater by myself to see the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie. And I really liked that one, but I feel like this one, I said it in my video review, but I felt like, we're just living in the world with these characters. And even though the movie was like over 2 hours long, I didn't feel it at any point through it. So, like, that's when I know I'm enjoying it. So, like I liked all of it. I liked the motivation for the villain because, like, with MCU movies, that's always a big deal. It was like, oh, how's the villain? And I feel like, obviously, you have Michael Keaton, so it's not going to be just the typical situation.
I like his motivation for doing what he has to do, because of the him losing the contract and him sort of like being forced to sort of, you know, steal and go into villainy. I like that, even though. Like his, but there was no like grand plan of like, you know, taking over the world or getting revenge against anyone. He was basically just him and his crew was just stealing weapons to sell to other villains, and that was basically it was just a money scheme.
Yeah, because I like the fact that like. I think at one point when Peter tries to call him out, it's like, you're just an arms dealer. It's like, how do you think your friend Tony Stark made his money? It's like, well, it's exactly right. So, like, I enjoyed that.
You didn't think that, like, you didn't think that was kind of, like, low stakes of, like, this is basically, like, a villain in a plot that the Avengers, like, wouldn't even get out of bed to deal with?
Well, I think that's the point. It's like, you have to make it. Like, people always wonder, like, when there's, like, world-ending stakes and only one hero from the Avengers is dealing with it, like, that doesn't make sense. So it has to be something that's at Spider-Man's level or even slightly above Spider-Man's levels where it's like, okay, well, nobody would get involved with this because they're probably not even paying attention to it. So, like, that makes sense. And you can't have, like, the world ending every 5 minutes. So I like that it wasn't like earth shattering.
Sure. And like, and some of you didn't have a problem with like, where some of the moments in this movie, like the deli or like convenience store that Peter Parker goes to getting destroyed and some of the other like the whole Washington Monument being destroyed and his friends always getting killed. You didn't have a moment, you didn't have a problem with that stuff being caused by Peter Parker / Spider-Man.
I mean, yeah, there was a lot of stuff that he screwed up and like he was punished for it. So like it shows like it shows on one side where it's just like, okay, he's learning how to be Spider-Man and he's doing a really bad job of like growing into this character. But at the same time, he was just like recruited and abandoned by his mentor. So it's like, you could put it on both of them, for that really. But it's just like, yeah, a lot of his problems he caused himself but it wasn't like egregious in terms of like Suicide Squad. It's like, hey, we need a team to stop something. Oh shit, oh, God, one of my team members is the problem. But it's like, it wasn't to that level. But it's just like, yeah, he was dumb for carrying this random glowing orb around, because those things you would just think generally, oh, this thing is glowing, it's probably radioactive, I should not touch it, or like anything like that. But they didn't think that.
What did you enjoy like Ned and like the all of the like the high school classmates and that whole environment in the movie? Like, did you enjoy the whole like the new interpretations of the of these familiar characters that fanboys got very upset about because they're racist?
Yeah, say fuck the fanboy. Like, it was the most diverse Marvel movie, and I wasn't even expecting that. It's like, wow, before we get to Black Panther, like, these like the most people of color we've seen in any of these Marvel movies.
And it was very matter of fact. Like, it wasn't even.
Yeah, it wasn't a point. Like, it wasn't a focus on that. Because it was like, well, he's going to a science and technology school, and spoiler alert, a lot of the smartest people, engineers, doctors, etc., are not just plain old white people. You're going to see a lot of brown people, Asian kids, and the representation looked appropriate.
And he was like the only like white
person
that is like amongst this group, which I thought was pretty cool.
And I like that Flash Thompson wasn't just like some dumb jock. It was just like, oh, he was another decathlete, but he's still an asshole. So it still fits that general vibe.
Penis Parker. Yeah. When you say penis, I say Parker.
I just really wanted him to punch that guy in the face. He never really got to that point.
That was another thing that kind of disappointed. Like, you didn't really have you had a bit of a come up in this moment when he steals his father's car as Spider-Man, but he doesn't do it as
and completely
Peter Parker.
Wrecks it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I like that too, because it's just like, this is a kid. He's supposed to be 15. Like, he clearly cannot drive. He's trying to turn by shooting webs to pull himself to the left. So I liked that this actually felt like a high school student. I feel like Andrew Garfield was closer than Tobey Maguire in terms of that, but he still wasn't quite there.
He was such a horrible douchebag and kind of a jerk.
Yeah,
he was too cool already to be a nerdy.
And then the forced like stutter in the first one. It's just like, this isn't working.
God, those movies were just made just to keep the film rights.
Yeah, and that's like
Sony.
Like those types of things really make me angry. It's just like when Fantastic Four came, I was just like. Like, all right, we got to stamp. We're almost running out of time. Shit something out real quick.
There was no story or there was no like reason for the movie.
Yeah, nobody was motivated to make it. Just
exactly.
like, hey, this hourglass is almost out. Let's flip it over. But yeah, this one felt like it was like people cared about the result. Like. I feel like I liked all of the supporting cast as well. Like, I liked Ned.
It's a very well-casted
movie. Yeah.
I like Ed too, but like, he did some stuff that originally I thought was annoying and stupid. Like when he says that Peter knew Spider-Man and stuff and kind of did, you know, some other
things. That's one of those dumb things that your friends in high school would actually do.
But then I thought like, well, he's a 14-year-old kid.
Yeah. Cause it's like, I'm thinking about like an incident. It wasn't in high school. It was like elementary, like sixth grade, but like we, I'm not going to take the blame for it, but I had a couple of friends, and we all knew that, our one friend Jose was really obsessed with this girl, Heather. So one of my other friends was like, "Hey, Heather."
I remember you telling me this a while.
Yeah, but so one of the other friends was like, "Hey, Heather, Jose likes you," or "Jose has to tell you something." And then after school, he's just like, "I love you." Then he ran away. It's just like, well, that idea felt, similar to that. It's just like, well, you want to impress this girl, I'm gonna just put this out there. It's just like, you're kind of blowing up his spot.
I love that not only did you have a very like diverse cast here, you know, at the high school, but they actually looked like high school kids. They were their age appropriate.
Yeah,
and they looked like high school kids. Like some were goofy looking, some were skinny, fat.
Yeah,
you know, had glasses, you know, had, you know, speech impediments. They actually felt like a high school.
Yeah, and I do like that it was not just like high Amber school
Crombie and Fitch model.
Yeah, and it wasn't just like any town USA high school. It was like actually a science and technology school. That would make sense. And then it kind of covers up some of the stuff like, why is this super smart kid in this dumbass high school with these jocks and all these other just regular people? It's just like, oh, he is in a special high school. He's got this Stark internship, so it feels right. So it's like, that made it easier for him to hide some of the stuff with, like, I'm working on this with this, like, crazy alien alloy, and my shop teacher is just not paying attention. Also, it kind of makes more sense for why Coach Wilson doesn't really care about his job, because like there's probably no standout athletes at this science and technology academy.
He was impressed by Parker's pull-ups.
Yeah, and let's talk about Coach Wilson, Hannibal Buress. I'm still mad about the fact that he picked his look-alike for the premiere. It didn't look anything like him, but
hey, he's on short notice.
Yeah, speaking of short, that guy was like a foot taller than him, but anyway.
Well, if you had access to a jet or something, you know, you could have flew out there.
Hey, he was
the red eye.
He was offering $500. He could have threw in a little more for airfare than I could have hopped on something, but
that's the cost of airfare right there, man.
Yeah, I know, but I really enjoy his role was small, but like
his brief.
Yeah, but like it really, like I enjoyed all his time on screen. I like how he shows like these Captain America videos, like they're doing like basically the presidential fitness test that people used to take. Like it would make sense in this world for it to be Captain America, not just the sitting president.
So you got detention. You did something wrong. And
it really makes it. It really throws me back to that time frame of like right before Winter Soldier, where it's just like I'm sure Captain America was just this like clean cut, goody two shoes, just unfrozen. Like, hey, government, what do you want me to do? I'm your guy. And he just probably filmed all these things at that time before he realized they were all liars controlled by Hydra. So I just think. Those were funny, and it's funny that after he shows the first one in gym class, she's like, I'm pretty sure this guy's a war criminal now, but like, I'm required to show these videos. So that stuff all felt like realistic to me, just like this burnt out teacher who doesn't give a shit. I'm trying to think, there's, Zendaya also had a very small role, but she was like a biracial Daria. Yeah,
I liked her characters, her sort of her weird sort of, you know, outcast character, and then some of the lines that she had. I know that okay, so we will talk about this right now. So initially when it was announced that she was going to be playing a character named MJ, you know, you had your, you know, the aforementioned racist fanboys
of course
screaming online, oh, social justice warriors or
whatever. Not my MJ.
Not my MJ. Then you watch the movie, the actual fucking movie, and you find out.
Yeah, her name isn't Mary Jane at all.
She's playing a different MJ. Her name is like Michelle or something.
Yeah, she. They, like, we only find that out at. Well, I guess we find out her name is Michelle, but then she says at the end, like, my friends call me MJ. Mm-hmm. We're like, you don't have any friends. So yeah, I thought all her stuff was funny. She wasn't in it as much as like for all the outrage that her casting got. Like she wasn't like a major part of the story at all.
Staying with that trend, I was surprised that genuinely surprised when the Michael Keaton when it turned out that
he was Liz's father.
Yeah, I was like. That secret that they were able to keep that.
That yeah, that was a great reveal because like it completely caught me off guard. I was like, what? Yeah. It's like, oh my god! And like that, like the nervousness from Peter, it made sense because it's like, well, number one, you're meeting a guy you know as a evil villain, but you're also like, meeting your girl, your girl you want to be your girlfriend's dad. So it's just like, so it was easy to play it off. But then, like, she wouldn't shut up in the car. She's like, oh, yeah, he knows Spider-Man. He interns with Tony Stark. He's he keeps disappearing all the time. Like, shut up! that was just funny. Like, no one talked to him for a minute. And it was like, it all, like from anyone on the outside looking in, you would just think this is, like, a tense daughter's date and father situation, but there's so much more going on.
More layers on top of that. I liked Michael Keaton more as like the dad of this, a father who's trying to like, you know, get money to, like, you know, provide for his family.
Yeah.
And being this guy who's like threatening like Peter to like, you know, stay away from him and what he's doing, or he'll kill him and everyone he loves. I like him here than I do as the actual Vulture when he's the Vulture.
Yeah, but I feel like really every time he donned Vulture garb, it was to do a job. It was like he had to swoop in that first time and get rid of Peter because he was interrupting their business. So he never really like did it. He never really put on the suit to just be like, I'm a villain, I'm going to kill somebody. He never really was trying to kill anybody. He never really tried to kill Peter until kind of at the end, or it still was like, hey, you're fucking up this huge job. And we finally got this high altitude seal that this dude has been talking about for months. So like the entire time it was just like, I'm stealing, getting money from my family. Like he never had the intention of killing anybody, and
he didn't have the intention of killing people directly. But he was going to sell these incredibly dangerous weapons to people to murder people.
Yeah, but just like how he explained, like that's exactly what Tony Stark was doing as well.
It doesn't make it right.
Like Tony Stark's not a murderer, but he sells weapons of mass destruction. So it's like, hey, I don't care what people do with it. So. Yeah, sure. Drug dealers don't shoot people up, but they sell drugs. The people justify things in their own ways. But I would say
that's terrible.
Like in terms of like in that dark world, he was justified unto himself. And for a villain, he should believe what he's doing is the right thing for him, and he believed it. I also like that this was the way they introduced damage control, because like originally they were thinking of possibly doing like a damage control sitcom in the MCU world, and they probably saw how horrible that show Powerless was, because it's basically exactly what they wanted to do. I'm sure theirs would have been better, but they probably saw like, hey, took our idea, you completely crapped a bed with it. So
it's Tyne Daly and like these government people to show up to take over the job from.
Yeah, and it's funny, like from that origin of him, like that's immediately after the Avengers fight in New York. It's just like he felt justified from that point, and then like obviously he takes a dark turn. But it's just like, yeah, you should punch that guy in the face, Vulture.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this is probably like the only time that like I've agreed with the whole blue collar, you know, blue collar worker guy versus the, you know, big government probably since the election.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, they're just a bunch of fucking, you know, like the whole stupid, like Joe the plumber, you know,
yeah,
regular guys, you know.
Yeah, a lot bullshit. Of regular guys are not good guys, but.
Exactly.
Some of them are.
But in this case, you kind of understand where it's coming from.
Yeah. And I like the little throwaway line of like, they make these messes and then they get paid to clean them up. The whole system's rigged. It's like, yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah. I'm glad that they didn't politicize it too much. It's,
yeah,
just kind of stands on its own. There's no like, there's no like fucking like pro positioning on any politics.
Well, I like that also the fact that they don't ever really focus on who the president is. I think we see him at some point on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Iron Man 3?
Yeah, he saves the president in Iron Man 3. But is that guy still president? Because that seems like it should have been a few years ago at this point. But, you know, the rules might be different. He might have declared martial law because of all this crazy shit that keeps happening in their country over these past few years. Sokovia Accords might have had a clause in it. It'd be like, all presidents stay in place for minimum of 10 years. Who knows?
Do you, one of my criticisms with this movie is that there isn't a single memorable action scene in this movie that you look at and go, oh, that's amazing. Like, that's on par with, you know, this scene from this other superhero movie. Like, they kind of just.
I mean, in terms of. Like, I don't know if that's necessarily what I'm looking for with these movies anymore, because like how like
you're not looking for a great action scene in action movie, superhero movie.
I'm looking for great action scenes, but it's like something that tops previous movies. It's just like you're gonna run out at some point. But it's like I enjoyed the action. I think the stakes are what kept me involved. Like they were fighting on invisible jet. I thought that was pretty cool. It was, I felt like there was real danger for Peter, and like I was interested. I'm not like weighing it against other scenes, but I was still invested when stuff was happening, and I enjoyed the Staten Island ferry being split in half, even though it was kind of his fault. But it was everybody's fault for that.
Right? It's always Peter's fault.
I mean, he was trying to stop whatever was going on. He just didn't understand what he was dealing with. But like, I enjoyed that stuff. And that, in that scene, it made sense where it's just like, okay, the involvement of other people, it makes sense. It's like, okay, this is beyond Spider-Man. So that's when Iron Man shows up. So like,
even though he caused the ferry to be destroyed.
He caused it by trying to take the guy's weapon away and the weapon exploded. He didn't know exactly that was going to happen. Cause like he's still learning this stuff. He hasn't learned, the importance of recon yet.
Yeah. He had to remove the training wheels protocol from his suit.
Yeah. I really want to see more about Lowell's like the 500 something web options, taser webs. Mm-hmm. I want to know about instant kill. I really would like to see that, but I doubt we ever will. Activating instant kill.
I like the Batman interrogation spoof when he wants to get information from the Donald Glover character in the parking garage.
Now that would be what I would say was the part that disappointed me was what Donald Glover's role ended up being.
He was just there.
He was just playing was a anything. Thug. This is like,
yeah,
this is not true to character at all. Like, I'm glad that he got a moment, like a spotlight moment in the movie, but it was like, this isn't really what I wanted, especially like, you know why he's in this movie. It's just
because
like,
he fucking crying about wanting to play Miles Morales on Twitter and social media.
Yeah, but
and
it was
fan service-y.
Yeah, but it was like, this could have been something better.
It just seemed like he was just not, he wasn't even playing like a character. He was pretty much just playing like himself, like the Childish Gambino version of himself.
It was more like if he was one of the normal people in Atlanta. Exactly. And not kind of a weird outsider. Because, like, seemed like he was talking more like a thug during that drug deal, but yeah. I guess he was putting on for these gun runners. But then, like, the interrogation scene, I do like that he was, like, giving him advice on how to be. That, in that sense, he kind of reminded me of the, I always forget the guy's name, but the guy from the Daredevil series where everybody ends up beating his ass. He ends up transitioning to every show. I think it's Turk. That's the guy. He's always like the witness for everybody. Like he knows everything. So that kind of reminded me of what Donald Glover was being in this movie. And I like that he just left him there like, oh, that'll dissolve in 2 hours. And he's just like, I got ice cream.
That was nice.
Yeah.
I don't like the fact that Spider-Man has a suit that has tech in it with a artificial intelligence voice that has all these like weapons and all these, because it pretty much gives them like a crutch to like lean on whenever like Spider-Man's in trouble. He can just use like a parachute or
I believe they call or, that a
or whatever
Deus Ex Machina.
But
yeah, like so that is basically like the Sonic screwdriver effect. It was just like I have a tool for any situation, but it's like, in this world, we have to do something different for this Spider-Man.
It's like you can just feel that in this movie. It's like, oh, we got to do something different.
Yeah, but it's like, it makes sense being like, at least it wasn't just like he made his own suit and figured out some kind of way with his high school brain of putting all this stuff together. It's like, Tony Stark, if he's going to do something, he's going to overdo it, and he's going to have Mach 4, 5, 6, up to 13. And then he's like, okay, now it's ready. And then give it to him. So I do like the way they fit that in there. It's just like, oh, he's put way too much in here. Like even Peter acknowledges, it was like, oh, he had a lot of time on his hands with this. So like, he's never going to use every single thing, obviously, because he doesn't want to instant kill anybody. So
he has a sidekick who helps him that he can talk to.
Yeah, I mean, and realistically, we're not going to see a lot of this Spider-Man at all, so it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. Because, like I don't even know what the current speculation is, because they're like, Venom's going to be in his own universe.
I don't Spider-Man even want to think over, about it.
And da, da, da. Just so it's
that
like,
Amy Pasquale, a woman from Sony, like, talking about all this crap, and like, I think it was like her and like Kevin Feige were on like a press junket, and she
yeah, I saw
about,
that. He was just like, "What the fuck are you talking
you
about?"
He
was
looking
at her like, "What?" So like,
even though he won't be in the MCU, that he will be in the same universe as the
yeah, it's just like, wait, what? So like. So I don't even know. I'm just looking at this movie by itself, and I'm appreciating it for what it is, and I enjoyed it.
I assume that we're still gonna have like Tom Holland as, you know, Spider-Man. We're gonna have these characters, but we're not gonna have any of the MCU, you know, superheroes, and it's gonna be like its own kind of like separate Spider-Man story.
Yeah, and they kind of set
Sony
that up. They kind of set that up at the end where he turns down the invitation to join the Avengers officially.
Yeah, with the horn of Spider-Man suit.
Yeah. Could have still given him the suit, but I guess he chose to give him version 2.0. So that will explain why he's on his own, but I would feel like you still have to keep the stakes pretty low if you wanted to explain that away, because it's just like, oh, now, like, Iron Man doesn't care if he dies now. Like, that would be weird.
What did you think about sexy Aunt May and everybody hitting on her, wanting to fuck her?
I mean, I think it felt realistic. I mean, that's That's how some women navigate in this world. It's just like the people at the restaurant is just like, oh, it's on the house. It's like you're a single woman navigating in the world. Sometimes it's weird and creepy like that. So none of that felt unnatural to me.
Do you like this version of Aunt May?
I mean, I like it didn't feel like she was really doing anything until like the moment where it's just like, I may I need your help to get ready for this date. Then I felt like this was something unique for this version, where it's just like, okay, yeah, she's not just basically
teaching him how to dance.
Yeah, it's like I felt like Aunt May in previous versions was just basically a nuisance, and I feel like this Aunt May, like, you could see how she contributes to his personality, and like they actually have a bond where it's just like they're close enough. Well, not in age, but they're close enough with as far as their bond, where he probably does tell her almost everything except for the fact that he's Spider-Man. So,
which we see at the end, and
yeah, it's just like randomly back. One day he just decides not to close his door. Just like all right.
Well, he is, you know, young, learning Peter Parker, making mistakes. So.
I mean, I guess he's too busy doing superhero things where he's not doing like the normal thing that boys his age would be doing in their room. So he's not super conscious about closing his door for other reasons. So I guess that's why he's just like, oh yeah, I'm just undressing and for yeah, other reasons.
His spidey sense was tingling.
Yeah. And I like the fact that his powers aren't the same necessarily. Like, he still has super strength and agility.
That's one of the gripes that people were talking about, like the fact that he doesn't have spidey sense in this movie. But did he have it in Civil War? Do you remember?
I don't think so. Because the only thing we would get to let us know that, because it wasn't from his perspective really, it was just like a open ended thing. But like, when there was all this like conversation between him fighting with Falcon, I feel like he would have mentioned that. I think he said something about his powers, but he didn't. I don't think he ever mentioned anything about spider sense.
Because there were moments in this movie where he, you know, he gets hit from behind and like,
yeah,
he gets taken out, you know, unexpectedly, and like that was a
plus. That's something they could fix with tech. Like, maybe that's one of the things in the training wheels protocol that the suit will provide him, now that that's unlocked or whatever.
So this is another thing that Spider-Man has to get from Tony Stark that he can't have on his own.
Possibly, or maybe he just doesn't have it at all. Like, we didn't see that even after he unlocked the suit. So it's just like, things are different. And plus, like, I don't know anything about real spiders having anything similar to that, because I squash spiders the time and they don't see it coming. So
sure, but this has always been a part of who Spider-Man has been since day one in, you know, the 1960s when the character debuted. So you don't have a problem with this not being
with him taking away my childhood. Is that what you're saying?
Him taking away just one of Spider-Man's abilities that everyone's familiar with, and you know, talks about my spidey senses are tingly.
I mean, he's 15, so maybe when he goes through puberty, his spidey sense will, like, turn on all of a sudden.
Isn't that kind of old to not go through puberty?
I mean, I think he's supposed to be 15, so that would be late.
13.
He would be late, but he was bitten by a radioactive spider, so it might have changed other things.
He's
that slowed some other things down.
Already.
I was attracted to girls at like 7. That didn't mean
exactly.
I was getting a hard on. I was just like, hey, she's pretty. But, you know.
Sure. So, do you feel like if like Uncle Ben, if they would have did that storyline in this movie, he would have been played by, you know, fucking, I don't know, Adrian Amell or Johnny. Or no, I'm trying to think someone. Yeah, pretty much. Josh Hartnett, or
yeah, it would be somebody like that. That's why, like, there's like so many things they change. And sure, the spidey sense is one of it was is an essential thing, but it's just like we have seen all of this stuff for 5 movies. It's like,
yeah,
we're doing the 6th movie of the Spider-Man franchise. So how do we differentiate ourselves? So this is one of the many things they decided, like, okay, this is going to be our take on it. Since we sold it to strangers and they wrung it dry, we're going to have to reimagine it. So I at least trust the people who created it to do it.
It's still a Sony movie.
Yeah.
It's still, yeah. It's like, I still don't feel like this is like, you know, an MCU joint, because all of the things that happen in this movie is going to have absolutely no bearings on Thor or Captain America or Ant-Man or the Avengers.
Well, I think it's realistic why that wouldn't have any bearing on it, because it's just like, well, apparently this was between the events of, I don't know, because at one point they're moving to the upstate New York facility, so that would seem like that was
before
the end of Avengers 2. But I guess they built the facility, they had all those people meet up, and then Civil War kicks off. So I guess Civil War happened, during that entire time, they hadn't move the stuff out of Stark Tower yet.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense, does it?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I mean, I guess they still had both buildings, because I didn't know that anything had changed with Stark Tower. So I guess they just made that deal at some point later. Because I guess that makes sense, because the Avengers don't really exist anymore. So he had Stark Tower and he had the upstate New York facility. So he's just like, well, I'm going to sell one of them. So he sold the Stark Tower. So
this is taking place right now. This is in like real time. It's not like in between anything.
It ends in present day, because like Hannibal said, like, this guy's a war criminal now.
Yeah.
So I guess that makes sense. Like, well, the team was getting huge and then they just basically split in half. So it's like, we don't need 2 buildings. So I'm going to sell one of them. So I guess that makes sense. Cause yeah, at the end of Avengers 2, they were all partying in that building, so they clearly made that deal after the events of Civil War. So
I hate it when I like the scene where Spider-Man is like trying to swing through a neighborhood and because
yeah.
there are no tall buildings.
Yeah,
like
that's another new
through.
Thing where it's just like, I always wondered about that, because like when I think about like when you play the Spider-Man video games, it's like if you ever. Yes, because like you're in the city, like in the Spider-Man games, but they're like, if you ever try to go through Central Park, it's just like there's nowhere to swing. You try to swing to trees and it doesn't really take you anywhere. So I enjoyed that. And he was just like fucking up everybody's houses, like
it's like
knocking shingles off the roof and everything.
I loved like when he was going through the neighborhood, through the pool and the fences, but I hated the fact where like you could clearly see that they're doing like a sort of an homage to Ferris Bueller, yet they still had to have
the
Ferris
footage
Bueller
from
playing on a TV. Like, you were too stupid to know that this is clearly Ferris Bueller.
I was too stupid, because I have never watched Ferris Bueller in full, so like that would have went over my head without the footage being shown with it. But I enjoyed it either way. Plus, like, that makes me... That one thing is a little bit irritating when it comes to the end credit scene, because like if Deadpool hadn't stolen it, then it would have made sense for Spider-Man to do the Ferris Bueller end credit scene. It's just like, why are you still here? You should leave. Because like Deadpool just stole it, and it was kind of random for why he does it, although it's just like, oh, it's another fourth wall breaking thing. But I wonder how many people were successfully trolled by the very end credits scene. Did you stay for it?
I already looked on my phone to see if there was going to be one, and it explained like what it was going to be.
Yeah,
I didn't expect them to say anything about any upcoming MCU movies, because it's not an MCU movie.
Yeah, it's separate. So I knew it was going to be something that was kind of self-contained. Just like Like, yeah, even with Guardians, where they had like five of them, it's just like they were all pretty much related to the movie. So, like, I just thought it was funny. It's just like it ends with him being patience. It's a very important thing. Sometimes you wait and wait forever for something, and you realize it doesn't really feel like it was worth it.
And then he looks off camera and says, how many more of these do we have to do?
Yeah, so I thought that was funny, like a good meta joke. I'm trying to think. Also, the mid-credits scene with the vulture, I feel like that's kind of a redeeming moment.
So either he wants to protect Spider-Man because he saved him and his daughter, or he wants to kill Spider-Man himself.
I think that's too typical to be like, I'm not gonna let you kill him, I'm gonna do it myself. It's like, cause he doesn't really have a blood feud against Spider-Man, like.
Even though he threatened to kill him and his whole family, and he tried to kill him multiple times during the final act of the movie.
He said what he needed to say to keep him out of his business.
But he dropped a building on him to kill him.
He dropped a building on him, but then realized, like, I could have burned to death, but he saved me. So maybe I'll let him live. At the very least, I'm not going to bake him a cake or anything, but I'm just not going to let these guys kill him. Like, I feel like that's not, it's not like he's the good guy now, but he's just like, fuck it, I'll let him live. Like, I don't think that's, think that's unbelievable that he's just like, nah, you can't kill him. Like,
I like that they left that up for.
Plus, it's like, do you really trust these guys? Like, hey, this guy is in prison with me. He knows some guys that can go kill Peter Parker if I give them the word. How do I know they're not going to be idiots and kill my daughter too, who was likely around him, even though they're moving to Oregon, but comes back to visit or whatever. But it's like, if he's visiting Oregon, how you know they're not gonna just shoot up the entire building that they're in or whatever? So
do you think that this is like, because he's clearly like the Scorpion, that this is gonna like set up some sort of, you know, superhero Insidious Six?
Yeah, Sinister Six, with the movie they've been trying to get made for all this time. I also like
the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, I also like that the Shocker was kind of, it made sense of why it's just like, oh, this is just another guy in the crew. It wasn't just like some other lone psycho that was like creating his own stuff in a lab.
Just yeah, like, that's kind of a hard character to bring from the comic to live action when you see what he looks like in the.
Yeah.
The cartoons and the comics. And stuff,
yeah. So it made sense the way they did it in this one. It's just.
He's a guy with a gauntlet.
Yeah, he only has one of them.
That punches. Yeah, that punches people and shocks them.
Yeah. He's like, you punch people and shock them. You call yourself the Shocker. What is this, pro wrestling? So, and I like that there ended up being two of them. I was like, fuck it. Now you're the Shocker.
I think the characters, the names of the characters are from like, I know one, Schultz, that's the character that Bokeem or Woodbine played. He's the Shocker in the comic books. And then the other character is another version of the
Shocker. They fit them both in there.
Cool. Exactly. And he doesn't get arrested, I think. I think he gets away, right?
Yeah, because I'm thinking, did he end up doing anything after the boat situation? Because I know he...
He beats up Peter at the school.
Yeah, because he's like, he gave you a choice.
School bus, yeah, yeah.
He knew you wouldn't take it. Yeah, and then he uppercuts the school bus and pieces out. yeah, I wanted to see a little bit more from Bokeem Woodbine because, like, I saw how good of a villain he could be from Fargo Season 2, but... maybe there's something else with him in the future, but we'll see. Yeah, because I feel like in Fargo, he was like an evil Dave Chappelle type character. That was like that was what his character was, which was unique. Anyway, was there anything else from the movie that we didn't touch on?
I bet the score for the movie was pretty. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't memorable or that great. I still think
yeah, I can't remember
the Danny Elfman music from the original, from the first two Raimi ones are pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't remember anything that stood out to me about the score either. But yeah, in general, I had fun with it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I didn't like it as much as you did, but
mm-hmm.
you know, as a John Hughes style, you know, teen comedy, you know, I when I look at it that way, I enjoyed it more.
Cool. Yeah, because that's why I think like this. I've heard a few people say like they some of the stuff that was like non Spider-Man related was better for them. And I just feel like it all worked for me. Like I wasn't sitting there watching him be Peter Parker and just like, put on the mask. And then when he was being Peter Parker, I wasn't just like, okay, I'm tuning out. It's just like, I was fully invested the whole time. So cool. It worked for me.
Cool.
All right.
So, all right. Are you going to see War for the Planet of the Apes next week?
Absolutely. I've enjoyed this entire Planet Apes series thus far.
Even though we all know how it's going to end, we all know who's going to win, but we just want to see how it.
Yeah, I'm actually rooting for them. Is that bad? Like, if a monkey rings my doorbell, so should I? I feel like I'm rooting for my own extinction, but.
Well, Zach, there's this movie that came out in 1968 called Planet of the Apes.
I know. I remember. Well, I remember the Statue of Liberty in the sand. I also remember the the more recent version with the Washington, the Lincoln Memorial
Lincoln
with the
Nora.
Monkey face.
God.
That's ridiculous. Because it's like, why would you just change that? Because that doesn't represent anybody. Because like, unless there was some ape that was just like, I'm really inspired by this mythological Abraham Lincoln character I've read about. I'm gonna dress like him and wear a stovepipe hat.
We all know that Tim Burton, that was something that the studio made him do.
Yeah,
it was gonna be something completely different.
Yeah, but like this version, it's really working, and I've had fun with it.
Andy Serkis, like, he doesn't get serious consideration for like Oscars and stuff, but he's actually doing that. That's not easy to do. The CGI, you know, face tracking, body motion stuff.
Yeah, it's an art.
Yeah.
And he's finally getting work on camera as a real person now in Black Panther. So, good for him. Even though I think he does still have some kind of CG element, doesn't he have like a fake hand or something?
Yeah, his fucking hand got chopped off by Ultron.
So it's like he even as a real person, he can't be a full regular human. But I also like that there was a little Easter egg in there. They were just finding like Ultron heads. Just like, oh, look at this.
The new, Captain America shield prototype and the Thor belt.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, why is he making a new Cap shield? Is it some kind of, like, underground thing? Are they secretly working together?
Yeah, I don't know if he's making it for Captain America or if it was something.
That's true. He might assign a Captain America. Like, you're not even, we've revoked your citizenship, so the new Captain America is going to be this guy. And they just put it on. There was a guy who seemed like a decent candidate for it from Jessica Jones, because he was, I think he was supposed to be connected to the same program, but he was just basically on like some kind of super soldier steroids. They might just put it on one of these subjects like that.
But, that the guy from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this past season, I think he's like based off of
the Patriot,
the Orange Patriot, yeah.
That wasn't the Iron Patriot, what you call it, Green Goblin dude?
I thought that like the Iron Patriot wasn't that the character that War Machine Don Cheadle, Rhodes was playing in
Iron Man 3. Yeah, in Iron Man 3, and they didn't they put that suit on the president?
Yeah.
So
I think he's just called the Patriot.
Yeah, on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that guy is called the Patriot. So they might just decide, as leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. and fake Inhuman, and they'll just use him as the new figurehead, Captain America. But they don't want to reference anything from television, especially Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
His character is dead.
Oh, well, spoiler alert. There you go.
If you actually watched season 4 of S.H.I.E.L.D., you would know that.
See, there's so much stuff to watch. So much on television. Yeah, it's a transition. Let's talk about what we're watching. What shows are you currently watching?
What shows am I watching? I am going to check out Castlevania on Netflix. I just started streaming.
I've seen that get posted. I was never a Castlevania player.
Neither was I.
So, like, I never really knew exactly what it was about. It just seemed like Draculas and werewolves and things.
I feel
like
I missed
that.
Out.
Yeah.
I missed out on that.
Yeah. So is this a Japanese anime or is it American?
It's Japanese.
Okay. So, that'll be interesting. I have limited experience in anime. Recently I've been watching like Death Note, and I'm trying to think what was the other one I've watched. One Punch Man. Although I'm mad that they don't have the English dub version of One Punch Man on Netflix, even though like
subtitles.
It's like they did an entire run on like Cartoon Network, but for some reason that version isn't on Netflix. But anyway,
it's hard for me to get into anime, man, because it's like it's so many of them. It's like it all the animation styles. So
you have to pick
similar, yeah.
You have to pick and choose. The thing that has helped me like whittle them down is like there's this YouTuber I watch. I've mentioned him a few times, Tyrone Magnus. He does like reaction videos, and he started doing these things with this site called Riff.TV. Where you can watch somebody react to an entire episode of a show, like from Netflix or whatever. So he started watching Death Note and was giving it good reviews and stuff. So I checked it out and I think it's interesting. I think I've probably watched like 7 episodes of that so far. So I like that one. But it's just like, there's so many of them. You have to just see like the premise and if it's interesting enough and, got to pick and choose because there's too many, I think.
Too damn many.
Yeah.
And it's like, just like the, when you're like watching an anime, just like the way that the characters look and how the scenes like develop, yeah. It's kind of hard to like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Even though it's like, I can't even think of any American cartoons that I would really be interested in watching, like current ones. Because like, all the stuff on Cartoon Network, the animation style bugs me. It's like they're made for little kids, even though the writing is more highbrow.
It's like shitty art school.
Yeah.
College crap.
Yeah, but it's like the writing is more highbrow. Like Steven Universe is like pretty deep, but it's just like I don't like the character design. So it's like it's distracting. There's also, what is it, Gravity Falls, which has the exact same art style, pretty much, as Steven Universe.
That fucking Adventures of Gumball, I fucking hate.
I won't even try that one. I've seen, like, the cat character, whatever that is. But, so a lot of these shows will just tune me out because of that. It's just like, this looks like something that should be on, like, PBS Kids. It's like, I don't understand why they all just have gotten lazy with animation. So that's why some of these animes have been more interesting to me. Because at least like something like Death Note, they don't have those scenes where it's just like somebody freezes in the background, keeps moving behind them, like, like they don't do that stuff. So it's more like a normal cartoon. So, like, I've been looking for more stuff like that, but it's like you have to dig around now. I'm trying to think of what else I'm watching in terms of regular shows. I'm
have you still finished watching. The Glow?
I haven't finished it. I've only watched the first three so far. I'm going to probably watch the next three this week. Probably post a review for those after I do the next set of three. Trying to think. What else am I watching? I'm still watching Orange is the New Black. I haven't watched a new one from this week. Watching Claws, Preacher. Still hanging in there with Fear the Walking Dead.
Hey, I was just looking online. The president in the Marvel Universe, his name is President Ellis from Iron Man 3. You see him at the beginning of Civil War. He's giving a press conference talking about Crossbones and the whole Nigeria thing when Captain America, and then they go there to stop him, and Scarlet Witch blows up the building.
Yeah,
kill those people. So I guess he's like they're keeping that continuity going with him as the president.
And I like the fact that like he's not really an important character. Like that's a smart decision to make. Because, like, if anything happens with that actor, just, like, who cares about the president anyway? So I'm trying to think, what else? I think that's pretty much it for what I'm currently watching. I've been trying to watch that show Blood Drive. My wife is like, I showed her the first episode. She's like, I can't do this right now. I'm eating. It's like gore everywhere. It's like people's bodies being ground up into car engines and all kinds of like ridiculous over the top gore. But like it's manageable when we watch Preacher and then the Saint of Killers blow somebody's head off. That's just enough where it's like, okay, that's past. I can keep going. But yeah, it's still pretty thin as far as shows right now. What I spend the majority of my time with is my South African shows. I'm not going to talk about it, but, watch those and, my Two Big Brothers series, UK and US. So that's what I'm watching.
I'm glad someone's watching it.
What are you watching? You sound like you're not watching much.
It's like the summer TV season, so like all the network shows obviously are on hiatus. So
yeah.
Right now I'm just trying to catch up on this movies and stuff. Like I saw Wonder Woman for a second time on my phone. Am I allowed to say that?
Well, there's so many new subscription services that let you see movies straight from theaters. It's like it's crazy that they've gotten licensing and everything ready for that.
Yeah. That's a ticket. I haven't been watching a lot of TV shows, more movies.
All right, that's cool. It's gonna be a movie summer.
I will be watching Game of Thrones when it comes back.
Well, absolutely.
Next Sunday.
All right. Okay, so it's next Sunday. Finally, it's about time. Winter is here. I'm so ready for that. But yeah. So, have you taken my recommendation of watching Okja yet?
Okja, yeah, I'm gonna have to because people are talking about it.
It's good. That's why they're talking.
People are making references. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I gave it 5 gold pigs. Like, and that's a reference you would understand after you watch it.
Very rare. Yeah, it's like what I talked about when I said when I finally started watching Black Mirror a couple of weeks ago. It's mm-hmm. like when something's popular and everybody wants to shut the fuck up about it with the hype, that makes me not want to watch it.
Hey, after you hear a couple of glowing reviews, okay, you tune those out and then you examine for yourself. Stop being such a hipster.
No, but it's like, oh, this is awesome, this is awesome. And then sometimes you watch it and it's shit.
Like, see, that's why you have to just explore things on your own. It's just like, how do I feel about this? Watch the trailer and you just think, do I want to see this? And then you decide. Like, because I didn't know anything about Stranger Things when I watched it.
I resent that hipster label because it's like, I know there are some things that are like, that you've seen that are like super popular that you've watched or that you know looks like shit and then you watch it and it's shit.
Yeah, and there's some things that everybody says are shit and I think are good to me. Like, nobody wanted to see Rough Night. Nobody wanted to see The House. I had fun with both of those. So, like, sometimes you have to just go with your gut. Because, like, there's things that people love that I don't. But it's just like...
Well, like, what what are the... Because I'm trying to think of what was something that I and everyone else enjoyed that you didn't like.
I'm trying to think. Just name something.
Because I already know you're not a big sports guy. So
trying to think. Lost. What I thought it was interesting, but in the grand scheme of things, it's probably a waste of my time.
Yeah.
Like, I was so...
Loose ends that don't get tied. I don't have enough time.
Yeah, it's like, I felt...
Get invested.
Yeah, it's like, I felt so out of the loop because, like, everybody I worked with kept talking about it all the time.
Oh, what's this mystery? What does this mean?
Yeah,
oh,
I, like, binged the entire series right before the last season. And I was like, this show is stupid. It's just like
they want to making shit up.
They want to do time travel. Then they want to do alternate realities. Then they want to do, like... past lives. And it's just like none of this fits together. It's just like, so in the grand scheme, like, and there's still people who are obsessed with it. Like 10 years later we do a rewatch, it's like I'm never gonna watch that show again.
At the end of it, they don't, there are things that are left hanging that they never paid off.
Like, hey, you know what, like, you know what, they're all dead, this is purgatory. It's like, that doesn't make sense either. It's just like,
and that's what people were saying that from the fucking get-go.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, like...
They denied it.
Like, did you come up with this because people said it? Or did you... Like, none of it felt... Plan? None of it felt like, oh, this makes perfect sense. But, Lindelof totally redeemed himself with The Leftovers, which I feel like one of the greatest series ever. But...
Did you watch Mad Men?
I liked it. I'm trying to think. I did finish. I liked it, but it wasn't like appointment viewing. Ended up watching like a few at a time to finish it up. But yeah.
What about The Sopranos?
I was a fan of Sopranos. Trying to think.
Archer?
Not really. Like, I tried to keep up with it, but then I just stopped caring.
Yeah.
What's happening on this show?
I have no fucking... They did, like, some thing where they go back, where it takes place during the 1920s or something.
Yeah, I have no interest in that, because it's just
neither do I.
Like, why is this happening? Like...
They have no idea.
Yeah.
No new one?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, is there any wrestling you want to touch on before we wrap up, or?
We had a rare, like, I guess for nowadays, a title change at a house show.
Yeah.
It was a raw house show at the Madison Square Garden in New York, but they had a SmackDown, match.
Yeah,
that took place between Kevin Owens and AJ Styles for the U.S. Title.
That makes it even weirder. Just like you have this random match from another brand, and then you change the titles. Just all right.
Yeah, that there has to be some explanation for
maybe Kevin Owens is injured or something. That's usually why they do it, because I'm trying to think. It's a rare situation, but usually that's the behind the scenes of it all. But I guess we'll find out.
Tonight. That was one of the points.
Yeah, it was a marquee match. So I feel like there's some battle royal competitors who will feel some type of way about that. So maybe they'll come to challenge AJ. I guess if we don't see Kevin Owens at all on the pay-per-view, then that's probably how you can explain it. It's like, yeah, he might have gotten hurt.
Speaking of wrestling pay-per-views, do you have any access to
Great
Balls of Fire? Are you paying for it?
Yes, I pay for my internet. So tonight is the greatest pay-per-view.
Stuff, by the way, when we're done, but continue.
Greatest pay-per-view name / card of all time.
By greatest, you mean horrible?
Great.
What a terrible.
Goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire.
And I've heard that they had to pay like a lot of money to Jerry Lee.
Why?
That fucking, so that means, so it's not like this is going to be going away anytime soon. Like,
yeah, they started saying the first ever Great Balls of Fire event, like first, like this should be the only one. Like, God damn it. Why? Like, and then they have all this car theme. Like, I guess, I don't know. Is the song Great Balls of Fire about a car or something? Like, usually the old songs are. Yeah, it's just like you could have used all this stuff for Fastlane and just like not done this. Because like I hate the name, but it's like all those little like metal car emblems with the superstar logos. Those look cool. Like if you put that on a chain, you could probably sell a lot of those on Chop Zone.
What about the logo that looks like a dick and ball?
Yeah, that's not a good look. I don't understand why like nobody ever. Clued in on just being like, you all right with this? And Vince was like, sure, put it on. Like, all right. Also, like the Facebook ad for Great Balls of Fire is like completely wrong, and it keeps popping up in my timeline.
They've done that in that Facebook post, and they did it on TV. I think during like the show on the network. Like it was so the big main event is. It's Samoa Joe versus
Brock Lesnar,
but it says
Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe.
No, it was like Roman Reigns versus someone else.
Yeah, I've seen it wrong in multiple ways. Yeah, like the one on Facebook says, Jesus Christ, I just found it again on the timeline, and it's still wrong. Because it's the sponsor one that keeps popping up. And it says Seth Rollins seeks revenge as he battles Samoa Joe at WWE Payback. And then it shows the picture for Great Balls of Fire with Brock and Samoa Joe. Just like, I don't even remember that match from Payback, but it's like still being shoved in my face.
But hey, that's the company that Austin Aries doesn't want to be a part of, and people are mad at him for, you know. Like, how dare you leave the great WWE?
How dare you leave after you had that great gimmick of walking around with a banana?
Yeah, exactly.
On a show that nobody watches. So, like...
Doesn't that freak you out that you have these loyalists that are, like, so damn loyal to, like, WWE, even though they treat their fans like shit, and they put out a shitty product on a regular basis?
Yeah. I mean, going back to the subject of things... that I didn't like that go against popular opinion. I've never really been a fan of SmackDown. Even when people say it was the best writing on TV, I was like, nah, it's still boring. And
it's 2 hours though.
It's 2 hours, but it's 2 hours of the same shit that's on Raw. It's like, well,
it's 1 hour less.
Yeah, but it's like New Day was on Raw, so I liked Raw. Now New Day's on SmackDown, so I like their segments on SmackDown, but overall, SmackDown is still.
Speaking of which, did you see the rap battle of Wale? Referee.
And I really had low hopes for the segment as a whole when it was announced. But it's like, it turned out way better than it had any right to be. And
you get a page of reference.
Yeah, and contrary to expectations, the Usos completely murdered the New Day.
Absolutely.
Like, it made sense. Like, the New Day is just, like, corny. Like, that's their characters. It's like a thing that Childish Gambino was obsessed with for a while around the time where he put out his album before the because the internet. He's like, some people said that he's cool, but he's not rap cool. It's like, the New Day is cool, but they're not rap cool. Like, the Usos actually, like, have bars. And then New Day was just fucking around. Like, they came out with the Rosebuds. So that, like, sets the expectation level of, like, what they're going to do.
So what was the page reference that they made?
Something like, let's keep it PG and not get R-rated like your boy Xavier Woods. Although I would say that was X. Although I guess you don't see full penetration. I mean, some of these movies you get kind of close, in some HBO shows, but like the camera was far enough back where I would say that you could get away with that in an R. Anyway, maybe the naked guy crouching in the corner would kind of wouldn't be included.
You're telling some things about yourself that
Some people on Facebook don't have any boundaries and they'll just post stuff. It's like, this is not meme worthy. It's like, you can't post all that.
That cracked Facebook, policing at work.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Like if Facebook was really doing their job, then there wouldn't have been so much horse porn in my Harvard group that I would have left it as an administrator. And that's how bad it was. I left a group that I created. I created a group that had like it was like close to 10,000 members, and it got so bad with horse porn that I left it and I created the group. So there you go. And like, it was genuinely like, the majority of those close to 10,000 people were real people, and I vetted them all myself, and then it still had enough people sneak in where it's just like, fuck this.
You should have just left it there, man. 10,000.
I mean, it still exists. It just doesn't have an administrator. Like, I could join it again and maybe ask somebody to make me an admin, but I don't really care anymore. Like, it was for my hometown, and I don't really care too much about my hometown anymore. Like, I left there for a reason. Anyway.
Too much horse porn.
Yeah. Anything else to touch on before we close out? Do you want to go through the card for Great Balls of Fire?
I'm just trying to think off the top of my head because I really don't give a shit. You have Alexa Bliss versus Bayley. Sasha Banks. Boy, if Sasha Banks loses, that would really suck. Man, I would put her in like real bad position to look like a geek.
Yeah, I expect Bliss to retain, and then they're probably gonna do a follow up.
Yeah, because they're clearly doing like a Nia versus Alexa or something.
They keep teasing that, and it's funny that like she's trying to make friends with her on screen, and like if you follow them on Instagram, like
they're friends,
they are really really good friends. So that's cute. This won't be the end.
Dean Ambrose versus The Miz for the millionth time.
Yeah, that's what I was going to think. It's like, is this the million and first or million and second match they've had since SmackDown? Now they're on Raw, still doing the same thing. I was mad because when Kurt Angle said, like, you're going to face both of them, I thought he was just going to make this match a triple threat and have Heath Slater in the mix, but like, no, let's do yet again another match with Dean Ambrose versus The Miz.
There's no reason for Dean to win.
No. Dean should be doing something else, and The Miz should be in a better position than just running this stale feud.
Yeah. What the fuck? Oh, do you think that who's gonna win? Well, obviously Brock is gonna win.
Yeah, I hope it's competitive, but I don't expect Samoa Joe to win.
Who's the baby face in the match?
I don't think you really need one. It's just like a monster match. It's like if
this is the monster match. This is the match.
It's like if you get the eventual match of Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar. It's not like I'm not cheering for anyone. I just want to see a car crash. So it's kind of the case with this.
Tag team match: Hardy versus Cesaro and Sheamus.
Again, another match that feels like it's for the millionth time. Even though like Hardy's haven't been around that long, but it's just like, yeah, they run this into the ground.
And it really feels like unless they get the rights to the broken gimmick, it's like this just feels like a waste of all that momentum.
It sounds like they're close to a deal on that. This is the last I've heard this week. Since TNA is now Global Force Wrestling, maybe they've had a change of heart as far as their old dealings go, but we'll see.
Do you think they don't want money all of a sudden?
What money are they getting? Like the thing happened, and like they're not going to cast two new people as Broken Matt and Brother Nero.
But they're not going to give that gimmick away for free.
No, they got to pay for it, but like yeah. They just have to agree to a price. Anyway, they're doing the Enzo and Cass match. On Great Balls of Fire, which I feel like is a little premature. Like, of course, like, they have pay-per-view coming up and they've done the breakup, but I feel like they could have held this off till like SummerSlam. Because I feel like it's big enough, but they're probably gonna run a three-match series like they do with most of these feuds.
I feel like Big Cass is a shitty singles wrestler.
Oh, absolutely. This is the barbershop window situation, except for the fact that the person who is in the barbershop window is going to be the star. It was as if Marty Jannetty super kicked Shawn Michaels like, I'm out of here. I'm where the money is. Like, this is what's happening in this situation. I expect this feud to go on, and then they're going to try to push Cass, and then they're going to fall flat on their face, and hopefully Enzo survives enough so he can have his much better singles run. But we'll see.
I'm going to watch it simply because, I have nothing else to do, but yeah.
Yeah.
Wrestling.
Yeah. I was excited for the Brock and Joe match, but for some reason I just feel like certain pay-per-views, like in the cycle, there's like they're too close to each other, but I feel like the cycle for this one was like too long. Like they had a week longer than they needed. It's just like, all right, my anticipation is petering out a little bit. It's like
it was like 5 weeks or a month of this fucking
yeah
thing?
It was a long time, because like they did the Enzo and Cass breakup twice just because they needed to fill a week. It's like, all right, like we didn't need this second one. It's just like, then Enzo comes out and does his Tupac promo after actually doing
his long ass promo.
Well, he does the long promo that makes sense, and it's a good promo by itself. Then he goes out of the ring and comes back and does his Tupac promo, shows his like Sharpie thing on his stomach. It's just like, I'm glad he did that separately, because they're clearly going to cut that out when they show the video package. Like, it was very obvious why he didn't put that in his main promo. Like, they wanted me to do this extra dumb shit, so I'm going to separate it. Like, all right, there's a good edit point right there. But yeah.
Yeah.
So we will see Great Balls of Fire on pay-per-view and...
Man... I got to start watching like other wrestling, because I hear that like
the quality of
other promotions or other promotions are so much better than this shit.
Yeah, I hear that, and I always think about that during the week. But then it's just like,
Where do you find it?
There's a subscription service called FlowSlam, which is like a lot of independent companies have partnered together, and they're like, you can see like PWG and Evolve.
That's the one that I want to watch. Hear good. I like the fact that it's ran by wrestlers and it's in Southern California, and you have like celebrities that like show up.
Yeah, and it seems like there's a big emphasis on comedy. I've always heard good stuff from them, and I need to just finally check them out. Because I think
Pro Wrestling Gorilla.
Yeah, I think Topanga was at the most recent
show. Yeah.
So,
fucking Gillian Jacobs from Community was there.
Yeah, it's just like, just feel LA people support LA products. So yeah, I need to explore more outside of the typical wrestling bubble. But it's just like, I feel so fatigued after going through 5 hours of WWE television.
Don't watch. I don't want to give up.
I've learned on some of the ways I watch Raw and SmackDown after the fact, there's the ability to watch in 2x speed. So I've been doing that a lot. So it has
everyone's got the high voices and shit.
It doesn't up the pitch. It just speeds everything up. So, especially a Bray Wyatt promo, if you play it on 2x speed, he actually sounds kind of like a normal. Yeah, but it sounds like he sounds like he's talking like a normal person. It doesn't make any sense still, but it's just like
those gaps pace. In between.
Yeah, the pace makes more sense. It's like, but hey, Seth Rollins, this world, man, the people are lying to you. You're the liar.
He just sounds like a typical crazy homeless man.
He sounds more like the old Navy preacher than like a hillbilly cult leader. I wonder if the old Navy preacher is out there still. I expect
he is out there. He's like further down the street on state.
So he's not in front of old Navy.
That old Navy is gone.
So there's no old Navy on State Street anymore.
Nah, it's on, they moved it to, it's on State and Randolph, like right around from where Channel 7.
Yeah, is. I know that's the new one, but he was at the original Old Navy, then he followed them to the next spot, right?
He didn't go there, no.
Oh, I thought he
went. You see, State, well, they turned into a gap, and now they're closing that gap down to turn it into, like, some fucking, I don't know, housing or some condo bullshit.
All right.
Well. I see him around.
All right, good to know the preacher's still preaching. You got to give these people the work.
He needs to go away. He's very homophobic, as you know.
Yeah, just a random thing I want to mention before we wrap up. That guy reminded me of a character from the show Chewing Gum, which I've mentioned a few times on here. The main character's mother is like this bootleg preacher. She has a church that's not really a church, but she basically does the same thing as him, and she's on the corner like with her microphone, like
bullhorn.
Yeah, she's basically like talking about all the people who are going to hell, like single modas, film watchers, fashionistas.
why
I don't know, but it's just like I just love that those are the people that she calls out with this African accent, like single modas,
fashionistas.
If there was somebody like that on State Street, I would actually sit and listen to them just for the joy of it. Anyway, to wrap up, let's give out our deets for people to reach out to us throughout the week. What are yours?
My Twitter handle?
Yeah.
My Twitter handle. My Twitter is at Anthony Hoffman. Facebook, you can just find me, Anthony Hoffman, type that in. Instagram is Tony Hoffman Chai, Tony Hoffman C, H-I.
All right. And I am on the Twitter at Zach Reviews. You get it? It's a play on words because my full name is Zachary Hughes, and the Twitter is Zach Reviews. Ha! And you can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/Zach Hughes, facebook.com/Zach Hughes, and you can find the podcast on Twitter at Frustrated Grad on YouTube at youtube.com/frustratedgrads. And you can find the audio version of the podcast on iTunes, Google Play Podcasts, wherever you go, Coconuts, Suncoast Video, Suncoast DVD and video. You can buy the copies of the podcast there, and go to frustratedgrad.com. If you like what we're doing over here, go to iTunes, tell them, give us 5 stars. If you like it even more than that, then you go to frustratedgrad.com and donate by clicking the PayPal button. So with that, I will say that's it for this video version of the Frustrated Grad podcast. Audio listeners, stay tuned. And with that, I will say thanks for watching, thanks for listening, and that's all you get for today. So here's a little short extra for the audio listeners. It's bonus time. All right. So I'm assuming the name for this episode has to have something to do with Spider-Man. It's too bad I didn't talk about Okja this week as opposed to last week, because then I could have called the episode Spider Pig. But it's weird that Spider Pig became a thing. It's just like, why?
So random. Because Spider-Man was, I think it had come out, Spider-Man 2, or Spider-Man 3, it came out that summer, and he was popular in The Simpsons. And
yeah, this is like weird.
Spider-Man song.
Yeah, yeah, then they made Spider Pig a thing in the cartoon. And I think it's actually in the comics.
It's too strange what things become popular.
Yeah, very, very weird. Okay, so Spider.
Let's use a reference from the movie. What can we?
This podcast was built by slaves.
I like to draw sad people.
I like to draw people in crisis. I'm trying to think. I feel like if I really think about it, a lot of Zendaya lines would be like prime for this type of stuff.
Penis Parker.
That was like such a lame. I would have punched him because of how lame that joke was. It's like, shut up.
He's like a DJ, which is like the douchiest fucking profession.
When I say penis, you say probably like, why is everybody joining in? It's like, play some real music. trying to think. Anything with Coach Wilson.
Ned. MJ.
My friends call me MJ. Let me see. My friends call me a nigger because that's what everybody on the internet.
What was that lethal death mode?
Oh, instant kill.
Instant kill.
That's pretty good. Any kind of way to fit Spider-Man colon instant kill. I think instant kill by itself is pretty good. I always like to have part of the name in there, though. Trying to think. System is rigged. You call yourself the Shocker. ... Is this pro wrestling?
Too long.
Yeah. Be careful where you shatter your wrists. Spider-Man, what was your thing on Facebook? Is Spider-Man college dropout?
Spider-Man college dropout.
We could do that. because I like to get the name in there. Because it was the Spider-Man graduation, Spider-Man late registration. I actually would like those as names also. Like, I still think Homecoming makes sense because it's like, this is actually where he belongs. So that's why they called it that. And they actually had a homecoming dance.
Yeah, it's like, I mentioned how stupid the title is. Like, it's Homecoming. It's obviously a reference to Spider-Man coming home to Marvel MCU. But, there's a homecoming dance that has nothing that much to do with the plot of the movie. But
yeah, it's funny that he was that cool that he was able to go to dance with a senior girl. So Spider-Man College Dropout. We'll do that one. Or should be late registration. I like College Dropout better. So that's the title. So you could either tweet at us with the hashtag Spider-Man College Dropout or Instant Kill or whatever else stood out to you from the episode. So with that, I will close out this audio portion of the podcast by saying, I'm required to play this by the state.